Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
Thanks for tuning in again to our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. We're so thankful for our faithful listeners that write us and let us know that they're listening to Strength for Today Bible broadcast on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, we're going to be handling a question that has come in on one of our previous broadcasts on David, a man after God's own heart. Our topic today, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 17, that's if you're at a place where you can reach for your Bible. Some of you like to listen to us as you're traveling to the mall or as you're going to the store, and therefore you don't have your Bible handy, but we will read the passage of Scripture that will be pertaining to our subject matter this morning. We're going to be looking at the subject of unconditional forgiveness, the key to personal peace. We're reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 3, all the way through verse 10. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our strength. The Lord said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be planted in the sea, it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself, serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, you are to say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And truly, unconditional forgiveness is our duty, and it's the key to personal peace. One of the highest forms of love is forgiving someone who has hurt you, especially when they do it intentionally. To tell one who hurt you that you forgive them may shock them into apologizing to you for their misdeeds. Unconditional forgiveness is one of the highest characteristics of true Christianity, which can be manifested by a believer in Christ. It's with this trait that you may win many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must learn to deal with the matter of forgiving those who offend us. You know, there are five consequences of an unforgiving spirit that we would like to deal with in our broadcast this morning. The first consequence of an unforgiving spirit is emotional problems. You know, when we fail to forgive someone that has offended us, we're giving the other person greater power over us than they've ever exerted before. We're allowing an unforgiving spirit to chain us and bind us to that person. Oftentimes, emotional problems surface. Anger follows, causing us to lash out at those who are closest to us. How often I've seen in counseling situations where anger seeds up in the life of a believer, some matters that are unresolved at work, and they come home and they bring that anger home to those that are closest to them, resulting in emotional problems, unresolved conflicts, things that are eating at their heart because of an unforgiving spirit. Even overeating because of frustration can all be part of that emotional problem that comes. So the first consequence of an unforgiving spirit are emotional problems. But secondly, the second consequence of an unforgiving spirit is a gradual increase of bitterness. You know, in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, we are warned by the writer that we are to look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Failing of the grace of God is not referring to the losing of your salvation, but it's failing to react as God would have us to a given trial or testing. And when that happens, and we fail to utilize His grace and power available to us, then a root of bitterness can spring up in our lives and trouble us, and thereby many be defiled. A third consequence of an unforgiving spirit are physical ailments. How many people today are subject to high blood pressure, migraine headaches, cancer, ulcers, colitis, heart disease, and other ailments? Why? Because an unforgiving spirit has been allowed to fester, affecting their physical condition. Consequence number four of an unforgiving spirit is a gradual withdrawal from the Lord and spiritual things. Before you know it, those thoughts of bitterness begin to well up in our minds, where we no longer think on spiritual things. We're no longer seeking those things which are above. We no longer meditate upon the Word of God and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, but those thoughts of bitterness begin to consume us, where we begin to withdraw from spiritual things, and oftentimes even our church attendance is affected. How many people have you known who were hurt through a conflict in a local church, and then because they were hurt, they withdrew from any other churches, any other associations with Christians, and fell into the snare of the devil? Consequence number five of an unforgiving spirit is that Satan will build a stronghold of hatred into your life, thus isolating you from others. Oh, the Word of God warns us about a stronghold. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, the Word of God warns us that strongholds are possible. The Word of God says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, "Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So you see, we must exercise unconditional forgiveness, for it'll lead to emotional problems, a gradual increase of bitterness, physical ailments, withdrawing from spiritual things and from the Lord, and strongholds that the devil can develop in our lives. And this will lead as a bridge to other sins that Satan will seek to bring into our lives. Now, once we have practiced biblical forgiveness, once we've found God's grace as he exhorts us to practice biblical forgiveness, we need to practice continually six principles. And I'd like to share these with you quickly. Principle number one, once you have forgiven someone, determine at that moment that you'll never raise that issue with the person who hurt you. Don't be bringing up the past. One husband went to his physician, and he was concerned about stress in his life. And he told his doctor, "You know, doctor, every time my wife and I get into a spat, my wife gets historical." The doctor looked at his patient and said, "Oh, you mean hysterical, don't you?" He said, "No, historical, because she brings up the past and things that she said she had forgiven me about." No, determine at that moment that you will not raise up those issues of the past with the person that has hurt you. Forgiveness is putting it under the blood of Christ and leaving it there. Principle number two, once you've forgiven a person, ask the Lord immediately for strength to squelch the desire for revenge. You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 tells us and reminds us very clearly, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay.'" Principle number three, keep in mind those whom you have hurt in the past and how they have forgiven you. Have you desired for people to be merciful unto you? Don't forget the golden rule that Jesus gave us on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." So therefore, if you would like to receive mercy and forgiveness, just as people have forgiven you in the past, you keep on forgiving others. Principle number four, as soon as you have forgiven that person, seek immediately to rebuild the relationship. Now, Romans 12 says, "If it be possible," verse 18, "if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." It may not be possible to rebuild the relationship if the other person will not respond, but see to it on your behalf that you do all things to rebuild the relationship in the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Principle number five, pray for the one who hurt you on a daily basis. That will help you to keep bitterness from rising up and troubling you. You know, it's hard to seek revenge or to hate people when you are praying for them. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, he tells us, "I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you." Principle number six, remember the cross, God's ultimate forgiveness. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, there was a letter written to a man on death row by the father of the man whom the man on death row had killed. And this letter illustrates the love of our Savior and the love of God in what mankind did to Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. "You are probably surprised that I, of all people, am writing a letter to you. But I ask you to read it in its entirety and consider its request seriously. As the father of the man whom you took part in murdering, I have something very important to say to you. I want you to know that I forgive you for murdering my son. With all my heart, I forgive you. I realize it may be hard for you to believe, but I really do. At your trial, when you confess to your part in the events that cost my son his life, and you asked for my forgiveness, I immediately granted you that forgiving love from my heart. I can only hope you believe me and will accept my forgiveness. But this is not all I want to say to you. I want to make you an offer. I want you to become my adopted child. You see, my son who died was my only child. And I now want to share my life with you and leave my riches to you. This may not make sense to you or anyone else, but I believe that you are worth the offer. I've arranged matters so that if you will receive my offer of forgiveness, not only will you be pardoned for your crime, but you'll also be set free from your imprisonment, and your sentence of death will be dismissed. At that point, you will become my adopted child and heir to all of my riches. I realize that this is a risky offer for me to make to you. You might be tempted to reject my offer completely, but I make it to you without reservation. Also, I realize it may seem foolish to make such an offer to one who cost my son his life, but I now have a great love and an unchangeable forgiveness in my heart for you. Finally, you may be concerned that once you accept my offer, you may do something to cause you to be denied your rights as my heir to my wealth. But I want to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. If I can forgive you for your part in my son's death, I can forgive you for anything. I know you will never be perfect, but you don't have to be perfect to receive my offer. Besides, I believe that once you have accepted my offer and begin to experience the riches that will come to you from me, that your primary response will be gratitude and loyalty and love to me. Some would call me foolish for my offer to you, but I wish for you to call me your Father, the Father of Jesus, the God of heaven. The Bible says God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, if we keep these six principles of forgiveness in mind, we will gain victory over our revengeful mindset, and we'll be able to establish stable relationships with people that will result in their being attracted to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps God is speaking to your heart about an unforgiving spirit that has developed in your life. Won't you confess that as sin? And will you not then in turn give that bitterness, give that anger, give that offense, and place it into the hands of Jesus Christ and practice those principles that we've shared with you today? Heavenly Father, I pray for your special touch upon some that may be listening this morning that are having a problem in this area of a forgiving spirit. May Heavenly Father, each and every mind be drawn to the forgiveness that God has extended to us and all that was afforded to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we receive that forgiveness. And Father, I pray that if there be one here that has never received Christ as personal Savior, that this will be a moment of decision for them to receive the forgiveness so freely offered by the one who we have offended in our trespasses and sins. If you're here today and you have not received Christ as personal Savior, you're listening to my voice, won't you bow your head and receive that forgiveness that God extends to you through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You pray that sinner's prayer from your heart, truly meaning it. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I've offended you. But Lord, I receive your free gift to me in the person of Jesus Christ on Calvary. He who bore my sins that I might have everlasting life. I repent of my sins and ask you to save me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I trust that you'll contact us at the end of our broadcast if you've made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have a comment or something to share with me. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have over our radio broadcast, or a personal letter. I'll be glad to read it and answer it personally with you. Now, a question has come in through one of our listeners for Strength for Today Bible broadcast. I'll read this request. It's from Winter Garden. I listen to the Strength for Today Bible broadcast on Saturday morning and receive a blessing from your messages, Pastor John. May the 25th, you spoke on the subject of why David was called a man after God's own heart. I appreciate your comments, but I've always had difficulty in understanding how he could be referred to in this way when he was guilty of some very serious sins. In 2 Samuel 11, it's recorded that he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and even unsuccessfully tried to cover this act with deceit. He had Uriah, her husband, placed in a dangerous position in battle where he was killed. These are major sins which God would not overlook in anyone. Will you please explain how David could be referred to as a man after God's own heart? Well, in the few minutes that we have left in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, let me just review a few things and perhaps add some items that may help our listeners' question. David was called a man after God's own heart because he was spiritually minded. He wanted to obey God from his heart. That was the general tenor of his life. Number two, David was called a man after God's own heart because he sought God's face daily in his daily decisions. That was his track record overall. Thirdly, he was a humble man, taken from the sheepfold, as it says in Psalm 78 and verse 70. I think of 2 Samuel 16:11, when Shimei was casting stones when David was coming from a Philistine victory. And he was so humble, he said it could be. When one of his generals wanted to take Shimei's head off, he said, no, it could be that the Lord has bidden him to do so. He was a humble man. He had a servant's heart, according to Psalm 89 and verse 19. He's called David my servant. He was also a man of integrity, and we brought that out in Psalm 78 last week at our program. But the question that's brought up is, how could David do what he did with Bathsheba and still be called a man after God's own heart? Well, first of all, I'm glad that God just doesn't look at the snapshot of our lives when we fail him. But he views the entire picture of our lives and our hearts. David's life was characterized by obedience, by being spiritually minded, seeking God's face, humility, having a servant's heart, integrity. See, that was what characterized his life. Sure, he made mistakes, and frankly, he suffered greatly for them. Remember, as a result of his sin with Bathsheba, he really had a relatively short life by the standard of other kings. He died at age 70. Secondly, his baby that was born out of wedlock died an untimely death. Thirdly, immorality resulted within his family, rebellion, incest. All of these things were part and the consequences of his sin. Fourthly, when you look at his kingdom, it never really was the same after his moral fall with Bathsheba. But God used David as a picture of God's grace, through which the Davidic covenant was fulfilled. I think of Isaiah 55 and verse 3, where the Bible says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." You see, the Davidic covenant was an unconditional covenant which God promised to perpetuate on His initiative, not just man's faithfulness. The Davidic covenant guaranteed that David's throne would continue forever and that Christ would rule and reign through his lineage. Now, if David had been stoned for his sin, that would have cut off the Davidic line. Solomon would not even have been born, through which the lineage of Christ had come. You look at, for instance, Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of fame. Those that are listed there, they're there because of grace. All of them, you look at every single one of them, and look at the snapshots of their lives that are presented in Hebrews 11. They all have some blight in their life. There's something in their lives that was portrayed negatively in virtually all of them. Not all of them, but most of them. And we know that none were sinless. But yet the Lord sought to portray divine grace in their lives. Such, I believe, was the case of David. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Lord who is forgiving? He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities, the Word of God says in Psalm 103 and verse 10. But He's removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. So David's life and testimony gives us encouragement to confess and forsake our sin. And when reproved, not to harden our neck, but to respond by faith. He demonstrates to us that God is a God of second chances. And that tells me, and for all of our listeners, that if we'll yield ourselves to Jesus, the best is yet to come. Come and visit us at Central Florida Bible Church this Lord's Day. Charles Schaeff will present some information for you to jot down.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, just three traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.